Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to The Doubters on Thursday, the 17th of December. And wow, this is going to be my final Doubters session for this year anyway. And I'm going to be taking a break for January and February. I'm going to be taking a winter hibernation. I will be back in March in some form or another. I don't know what that's going to be yet. It could be the same thing. It might be something completely different. But anyway, so I'm just really happy to be here for the final time today and to have a few people join us here live. And today I've got the wonderful, the fantastic Catherine Sykes with me today. Say hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Hello. So happy to have you here today, Kat. Oh, she's such a special person. I will get onto that. And I've got my dog Seeker here. So he's he keeps pestering me if you see me. He wants to get involved, but he can't really. And let me just explain my jacket for everybody who's come online has heard about this already. But I've been waiting for an excuse literally to wear this jacket. This is my granny's jacket. She got it from Hong Kong in the 1950s. And I've just never had an excuse to wear it. And today's the day. I wouldn't wear it out the house. So today it's Christmas time. I've got my lights up. I've got my granny's jacket on. Really happy to be here. And so the topic for today is how to have fun. And it's going to be a takeover because having fun, this is not really my strong point. You know, I take life very seriously. Self-doubt, my main subject is a very serious subject. I often forget to have fun. So today is going to be a doubter's takeover. I'm actually going to hand the reins straight over to Catherine in just a minute. But just to explain, a few people join us here live. I don't know how it's going to work today, actually. I think I'm just going to hand over to you. But let me first introduce you, Kat, because I think that's a very important thing to do. I like to introduce people through my connection with them. And Kat and I have been connected for, I think I met you in 2016 when I was training to be a coach. And somebody recommended Catherine to me and said, so you were one of my first practice clients as a coach. Amazing, amazing. And we've just stayed connected ever since that time. And I love being a part of your journey. It's been such a special thing for me to sit back and to watch you grow and the challenges you've taken on. And, as a coach, it's always really wonderful when you see people going out and doing stuff and making changes. And, you know, actually everybody on this call who's here today, I know, has taken on challenges, taken life by the horn, shall we say. And so it's just been such a special thing to be part of this journey with you, Kat. And we may say a little bit more about our connection as we go through this call, but I'm just going to hand over to you. Is there anything you want people to know by way of introduction? I didn't say anything about your profession or anything like that.
No, that's okay.
I need to know.
I think, the company that I'm setting up basically involves nothing that has been done before, I think. So I'm just doing a mishmash of lots of different things, and people can call me whatever they like as long as they call me and buy my services, to be honest, Olivia. But I think the key thing to note here is that I had depression for a huge portion of my life, to varying degrees, from the age of about 11 to 31. Sometimes I knew I had it, sometimes I didn't. Looking back on it now, I realise that that's what I had and for how long. Fun is integral to all of that. So this is essentially a journey of me sharing with you things that have worked for me to help me, and maybe they might help you, maybe they won't, maybe you'll find something different.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And I just want to add really to that I think what's really powerful about the work that you're just said, so Kat is very newly setting up her own consultancy company around the work that she's going to do today. And, you know, one of the things that's really powerful about what she's doing is that she's bringing to the world, she's giving to the world what she actually needs herself. I've had a few people on The Doubters doing this. This is what I'm doing. My work around self-doubt is, you know, I'm doing this work because I need it myself. And that brings a very powerful purpose to the world. So anyway, as I said, this is a takeover today. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to join in. I'm here with my coat on, my jacket on. How is this going to work today, Kat? What do you want to do?
So if you could share, make me the person able to share screens or whatever.
Oh, yes.
There's one video that I'm going to play, but the rest of the time is basically going to be me, proper old school, things that I've written down on pieces of paper that I'm going to put up, basically like a whiteboard, really.
Wonderful.
It is the right way around, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Good. Yes, don't worry.
Good, because that's what I was worried about before. Brilliant. Shall I start?
Yeah.
Okay. So, everybody, this word here, now, that probably scares people, that word. I know it scares me. If someone just says, you have to have fun, then it's actually really, really scary. So what I would like to do is I'd like, if people can just use their chat now to just put down some words, some sentences, anything that you like, of feelings that the word fun conjures up. It could be good, it could be bad, it could be ugly, it could be beautiful, it could be blissful. But the point of what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to start everyone by getting away from the conceptions and the meanings and the thoughts of the word fun. And I want us all to kind of start at ground zero together. Everybody sees the same activity as a completely different point on the fun scale. So if you think of the fun scale as being, I wish this would never end, to I'm not sure I can take any more of this, then something that I love, you might hate, and the other way around as well. So Olivia, you've got, if I feel pressure to have fun, you can't have fun. My sister is exactly the same. She hates organised fun. Ah, something that takes work. Yes. And actually, I think as you go through this, it'll see that you kind of need to prepare the space for fun. And that's the work to do. Then it means it'll be a lot more spontaneous and a lot more productive and enjoyable. Are there any I've missed, Olivia?
No, I said spontaneous. Spontaneity is something that I found is quite important for fun, but I often, that's something I struggle with because I forget about that. So
we've got inner child, definitely.
Oh,
we've
inner child, yeah, that's amazing. Really important.
I forgot how to have fun. The way that me having fun is me connecting with my inner child, really.
Yeah.
And
Kevin says no time for fun.
Exactly. it's very similar principle of what I'm going to be going through of, you know how mothers of newborns, they don't have time for anything unless they plan things out. It's kind of, I'm trying to see if there's ways that people can think of to chalk time out to be able to do that.
So Linnell says, can feel false and takes, oh, I've just mentioned everybody's name is here live. I don't normally do that. Sorry about that. I usually like allow people to come and just lurk in the background. Sorry, I've broken it all today. Anyway, can feel false and takes effort. And Jay says, something that is a weekly must, a week without laughter is a week lost, being sincerely silly. Not that this is always true for me, he says.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the same,
it's easy to forget.
Well,
I think the thing is, it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget not to be able to have fun and not to have time to have fun. And it's just easy for it to just slip away, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. So basically, if you think about someone who wants to go from being a couch potato to climbing Everest, they don't just automatically go, right, I'm going to go and climb Everest. They have a training plan. They are happy with the fact that they're going to train. They're happy that they're going to scaffold their way up there. Now, I'm going to try this with you, right? The poor kids that I used to teach. I used to teach kids with behavioural problems. I also used to be a project manager in construction, which is basically kids with behavioural problems.
Same thing.
And I do digital projects, which is a lot of change management as well. So, but the one thing that I felt ever so sorry for the kids for was if I just gave them this, it's a blank piece of paper, and I say, draw something, because this is a fun activity, draw something.
Did you do that?
Well, no, I didn't. I'm showing you what I did do. But some people did do that. And these poor kids, if they felt creative, then they'd be all able to start off, they'd be doing everything. But if you give a blank piece of paper to someone who doesn't feel very confident or also doesn't really know how to do it, then it's awful. It's not a fun activity at all. So then what you do is you scaffold for them a little bit. So the way that you would scaffold is you might give them something where they've already got some feet. And then at least they know where to start from. It might be that it's like a monster or something, and it has like a, and you just draw a smile or you draw something with fangs, but it makes it really, really simple. And it's exactly the same thing with how to have fun. So what I'm wanting to do today is I'm trying to wanting to show you how I scaffold myself to have more fun. I want to have more and more and more fun every day and keep trying to remember more and more often to do that. And then that might start thinking you thinking about ways that you might be able to scaffold yourself to have more fun.
So especially at Christmas time, especially at COVID Christmas time, very important.
Well, it's supposed to be fun as well right now, isn't it? And it's, you know, we're not really helped, are we? So let's start with the amazingness that is Simon Sinek. So Olivia actually introduced me to Simon Sinek, not in person. I wish she had. I wish she was in person.
Well, I've got tickets here to go and see him.
Have you? How amazing.
I sold them. I'm not going.
What?
I should have sold them to you, shouldn't I?
You should have done. Cheeky man. It's fine, I'll get my own. So let's start off with why. So why do we want to have fun? There are a few things. So it gives energy and youth, apparently.
It's what?
It gives energy and youth.
Youth?
Yeah.
I'll do with a bit of that.
I know.
Well, some on the call don't need it. They've got it already.
Yeah, but they won't have forever.
No. we're the youngest we're ever going to be ever again, right this moment in time.
Yeah, that's true.
What does that say?
Reduces our stress. We've got improves our relationships and makes us smarter. Okay, these are just very general things. There's millions of things that you can say and loads of science around
it. For good reason. Improves our relationship, makes us smarter.
Yeah.
Can't read them.
Okay, I'll show you them all properly at the end. You can keep them all. This basically will end up being a board that you can share at the end.
By the way, people who are listening just on audio, you're going to have to watch on video, I'm afraid. You've got to watch on video anyway just to see my jacket.
So, let's take some quotes. This is from a proper book, not just me. When you have fun, your brain releases dopamine. Without fun, peak performance is practically impossible. So just think about it as fun is not something to take away from the things you should be doing in your day. Fun is enabling you to have peak performance. Also, as well as a proper
book, I think that's one of the things that gets in the way, isn't it? It's like, I haven't got time to have fun. I've got to be performing. I've got to be doing. Yeah.
And the most I've ever performed, the best I've ever performed is when I've been having fun.
Mm.
And
true, I've seen it. I can vouch for that.
It's true. There was this guy when I was a kid. I remember watching the telly, and there was this Yorkshire train driver, and he must be enlightened. I tell you, it stuck with me, this quote, for my entire life. And he said, "Work cuts into your day a bit. You may as well enjoy it while you're there." And it's true.
An enlightened train driver.
An enlightened train driver. And so what I'm aiming to do is to help people and myself, more than anything, to be honest, make it so that I do enjoy as much as I possibly can of the work that cuts into my day.
Yeah.
So we've got the why. Now we need to look at the how. So with me, it was tricky at first. It took quite a while to, because I forgot how to have fun. And I've only just started remembering how to have fun.
Can I just say that's quite common with people when working around the self-doubt stuff. It's something that come up with a lot. You know, people just forget. Literally. Sad.
No. So what I thought was the easiest way for me was to start noticing the negatives, really. I started noticing what I didn't like feeling in my life. And I think it's probably true of most people that when they're first trying to pinpoint anything they want to transform about themselves or a situation in their life, if you start with a negative, you ignore those.
It's easier to see what you don't want, isn't it? It's easier to pinpoint what you don't want in life.
Yeah. And so what I didn't want predictability. I didn't want routine. I didn't want repetition. I didn't want a lack of expansion or growth, and I didn't want to be stuck doing the same thing and not trying anything new. Now, that actually, to some people, might sound lovely. It's, everyone's different, but that is basically what I found. That for me, those feelings were kryptonite. They suck the life force right out of me, and they do it scarily quickly. So then what I've been trying to do is to scaffold ways to be able to feel the opposite in my life. So then I started noticing what made me feel the opposite in my life. Now, when I was a kid, I used to love, when my parents had friends round, I used to love dressing up as the waitress, taking everyone's orders, getting their drinks. God knows how awful those drinks must have been. But I'd go and get plates. Again, I probably burnt myself when I got all the plates from the kitchen or whatever. But it kept me entertained, and my mum and dad were happy that I wasn't bothering everybody.
And they had a free waitress.
Exactly. But I loved it. I loved writing everything down and pretending to be the waitress all the time. I loved pretending to be a teacher, making my own little book, pretending people had done good drawings and, you know, telling them well done, telling all my teddies well done. I loved stamping things. So I used to love making a post office, and I'd stamp everything that I could find. Checkout lady. Now, I really liked it when I really liked typing numbers into the number pad of a keyboard on a computer. So I used to love pretending to be a checkout lady. And then whenever I would scan something, I'd be like, oh, no, they didn't recognize it. So that I had to type the barcode number in. For some reason, that really excited me. And then I thought, so if that's what I liked then, what do I like now? And then I thought, the things that brought me the most joy were when I went to a murder mystery. You get dressed up, you just get taken away into a mystery land and of all sorts of people doing things, asking people loads of questions, being ridiculous. Escape games. I love escape games because, again, you're using your mind to try and figure out a problem, but it's fun. Secret cinema. My favourite is secret cinema. I've been to quite a few of them, and the attention to detail that they have is just phenomenal. And you are completely immersed. Like one of them, it had like pretend acid rain, and it had pretend eyeballs that were contraband. And then my boyfriend, the police, took him away out of this, you know, this scientist's lab that we were in, because he'd got contraband eyeballs and things. And then I lost him, but when I'd finished with the scientist, I had to go back down and like get him and bail him out of prison. And it was fabulous. Now, some people would hate that, but for me, that's what I loved. So then I also have a good example of something that other people might like as well. So because that's like once every few months, that you can't just laugh once every few months. You need to have a little bit more regularity.
It costs a lot of money as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to show a YouTube video. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, Tina Fey, look at what she does.
Tina, Nigella Lawson's here. I know in lockdown, your daughters have become sort of gourmet chefs.
Yes, they prepared some dinners for us. My husband's a good cook, but he got a break from them a couple times. We did some theme dinners. Since we're all about to lock down again, I recommend these. We did like a Victorian night dinner. We did a Mexican fiesta, and we did the best one though was they did an airline dinner for us where they set up all the chairs. It was a dream actually, because they set all the chairs like fit one behind the other, no one facing anyone else. And they brought us like warmed nuts on a tray, and they didn't, children don't understand how much wine is too much wine to pour.
I'm an adult.
The glass of wine is like filled to surface tension.
Yeah, you sent some pictures of this evening. Yeah. I mean, they really went all out. Everyone had a window seat.
Yeah, everyone had a window seat. We put a picture of an airplane window on the TV. They made stewardess costumes for themselves.
Oh, let's see the stewardess costumes.
And that's too much wine.
And then is this the same evening where they put the reading materials in the back of
the... Yeah, they put magazines, they shoved magazines in the back of the... We put headphones on like a plane and we ate in silence, and it was the best night we had in 7 weeks. I think...
So,
14 people didn't like that clip.
14, really?
It had 14 dislikes on it anyway. 1,100 likes and 14 dislikes anyway.
Good. Well, I liked it, and that's what counts to me. Mm. So that gives you an idea of how you can do that at home then.
Do this at home.
Yeah, you can do stuff like that at home. Well, that's my type of food. Other people might have different types. So for me, I've got my professional theme events. So that's the things like secret cinema, murder mysteries. And then you've got personal theme events, which can be a little bit more regular and a little bit less costly. And that's what Tina Fey did. And then also, I can do things that are daily. So we can't just be doing that every now and again. And mine is daily acting in a role. There's very various ways that I can act in a role when I'm carrying out whatever tasks I'm carrying out. But basically, I like to decide what I'm wearing for the day according to how I want to act. If I want to be a little bit regal, then I'll wear something that makes me feel a little bit regal. If I want to be, I have braces that I wear if I want to be a little bit masculine. You know, it all depends on how you feel that you want to do the rest of your day. So now we come to the what. And I think this is possibly my most favourite quote, and I think it's going to be pride of place on my website when that's up. And that is that we do not see things as they are. We see them as we are.
Can't see that quote.
Can you not?
No.
I'll hold it up here.
Oh, yeah. Do not see things as they are. We see them as we are. And they mean.
Yeah, I don't actually know who she is, if I'm honest. But she's very, very clever, I think. And that's the key thing that we have to remember, I think. And fun's a choice, I found, of every moment in the day. Just like what I figured out when I got over the depression, it's about how you choose to view everything. Fun is a choice. So to be fun or not to be fun is always the question at any moment in the day. It's just whether you remember that is the question. So serious tasks can be fun, not just frivolous ones. I mean, how can the task or situation at hand be more fun right now that you're doing? It has to be done anyway, so why not make it more enjoyable for you while you're doing it? And then maybe the end result may actually end up even better too. So the key thing that I'll be looking at next is, how do we want to be right now so that we can see the task at hand in the most productive way possible for us right now? So fun is productivity, not the opposite. We should be making fun time for this. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a bit of an example. Because I like playing a role whenever something happens at work or at home. You remember the old thing where people used to say, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Situation. Well, it got changed, didn't it? Lots of people started saying,
Jesus became unpopular, did he?
Well, people were saying things like, what would Beyonce do? And you know what? Sometimes it's useful to think about that. If you're in a situation where someone's taking the mick in some way, what would Beyonce do? Would Beyonce be putting up with that? I don't think they would.
I hope Kevin's listening closely to this. He's a priest.
Well, my mum's a vicar. So
oh, yes, of course.
I'm not being too blasphemous. She'd also be worried about what Jesus and Beyonce think at the same time. So what I would like people to think about is, what would they like that character to be in a situation. So if I give you an example, I would have, so I've got a specific issue. So let's make that, at the moment, family is quite tricky, isn't it? Because COVID, everyone's fraught. It's Christmas. We've got guidance, but actually we've been kind of told lately that they don't really like the guidance either, to make it even more rift causing with people. I know people who've had arguments because they've got different ideas of what the rules mean and whether people should do things or whether they shouldn't. So I think I'll take an example of arguing siblings, maybe about maybe only two of them can see mum and not all of them, and then someone has to be a favourite in their eyes.
Oh, that's a triggering situation if ever I've heard one.
No, in a time that's supposed to be fun.
What would Beyonce do?
What would Beyonce do?
She'd sing it out.
She would. And then we've got ridiculous imagining. So what I'm going to do is, this is my favourite at the moment, really resonates with me. What would a queen do? So I've got my little queen's hat. Yeah, I've got my crown that I bought off Amazon. Love this, by the way. If I'm having a moment where I think, oh, I'm not really feeling particularly inspired by something, and I'm writing on the computer, I'm like, no, I'm going to put this on, and it makes me feel like I'm important.
This is 21st century professionalism, by the way. it's quite acceptable in the workplace this day and age, I understand.
I have actually managed contracts that are £150 million, by the way. And I've managed to be like this. Well, maybe not with a crown on. An invisible crown on at the time. Yeah. And then, so what would a queen do? So if I was having my ridiculous imagining, I would be able to sit off with their heads, or I would be able to ban them all to Narnia, or I would be able to send them to the mines or whatever. And I love Blackadder. I love the Queenie in Blackadder. I'd probably just imagine lots of things like that. Now, obviously, I don't want that to happen to my family, but it makes it light, and it makes me feel like I've got everything out my head of all the negative that I've been thinking about what, how I feel about things. And so after I've had my fill of that for a few minutes, then I can start thinking about the actual options for the high road. I need my blue tape. Options for the high road. And then you might be able to start thinking about some actual options that are available. Maybe there might be a way for people to see each other in a slightly staged way or whatever. So I would like people to have a think for themselves now, who they would like to be, which character would they like to be, and what situation would they like to have. Maybe it's something that you're worried about, or maybe it's something that is already happening. And then just having to think to yourself, what would that do? And I'm going to give you a minute and a half. If you want to get yourself some props, feel free to get yourself some props. If you want to put a filter on, because on Zoom you can put yourself a little crown.
Everybody's off video, but feel free to come on video if you want.
But you don't have to either. You can just do it on your own.
I can put my pizza hat on. That's my pizza hat. I love your crown. I just love it. You look so wonderful. So can I say a few things while people are maybe thinking about this stuff? So what I love about what you're saying is basically what you're talking about is creativity, and how creativity is such an important aspect of life, and so in and actually crucial. What it's one of the areas is how I want to get to around self-doubt work. Where I want to get to with work, I always want to bring in an aspect of creativity. But I really think there's a skill to this, because it's not about escaping. It's not about putting a mask on. It's not about pretending to be something you're not. It's about allowing ourselves to play and have fun and have creativity. And you know, that can it is, as I said, it is such an important skill because it can really open up options to the way forward. This is just an area that I really, really love to people to get to around the work with self-doubt, to be able to open up and just be more creative with their challenges of life. It is, it's so important. So you're talking about basically adopting an alter ego, aren't you? Essentially,
it doesn't have to be the same one all the time. I don't always have the queen. Sometimes I go for bad ones. So I'll give you an example. So as part of my new business, some of the things I've got, I've got masks which help me automatically get into a different role. So this one, we've got Wonder Woman.
Oh, masks! So 2020.
Exactly, darling. So we've got Wonder Woman. We've got Spider-Man. I've got at home. I've got Captain America. You know, if blokes want to be Captain America, yeah, or
I've got a bear.
Oh, this one I love as well. I've got all of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they've all got such different personalities that I could react whichever personality I wanted for those.
And this is your business, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got my crown on now.
I was going around shopping the other day, buying all of these things, like masks and things like that. I'm just buying things for my business, Paul. Buying things for my business.
It's all tax deductible. So let me think about who my alter ego might be. Because actually, though, this is really important, especially when I've got really down moments, because, you know, my life is about embracing self-doubt. It's about really going there, and it can be a dark place to go. So to be able to bring in an alter ego, who would I have? So I would have, so what's been important for me recently is feeling that I have basically somebody who's got my back. So someone mentioned inner child earlier, and I've been doing a lot of that kind of work recently. So what's been important is to feel like it's almost like myself as an adult now going in and being there for me. So it's like having somebody who knows it's going to be all right. Do you know what I mean? Somebody who knows it's going to be all right. So that would be like, it would be like an auntie, I think, like a really cool auntie. That's what I would like. That's what I would like to have. So
that's nice.
Maybe would like to be, but maybe that's not wacky enough, but it works for me. I think this is what you're saying.
It's whatever works for you, isn't it?
Mm. So has anybody got anything that they might want to come on and share or contribute, have a chat? What comes up for you when Kat talks about all of this stuff? Hi, Jay.
I do. Do you want to see my prop?
Yes.
It's my Catalan prop. This is called the Cagatillo, right? And what the Cagatillo is, this is only popular in Catalan culture. It's not anywhere in Spain. So there's like maybe 4 or 5 million people totally in the world that have this little thing going on at Christmas time. And what the kids do in the build up to Christmas, they have these in every single school. And the day before Christmas, or the day before the end term, they put a blanket at the back and they sing this song. It's Cagatillo, Cagaturon, which is basically little shit. Please shit us out some chocolate, and if you don't, we'll keep bashing you. Right? And you can see on Christmas Eve going around everywhere in Spain, everyone Cagatillo, Cagaturon, and they're just bashing this. And then at the end of it, obviously the teachers put the presents at the end, and then they lift up the blanket and they all grab all the chocolate and stuff. And I just thought this I would have loved this as a kid. Like, they get these big sticks. This is a miniature one, but they have massive, like, 8-foot logs, and everyone got a stick and they bash it. And it's really good fun. I was amazed by it the first Christmas I was here. I was like, this is hilarious. So I put this on the side, and this is a reminder that Christmas can be really, really fun. It doesn't always have to be about, shopping and stuff. So the kids do this here. That's my
I don't know how that's managed to be kept such a well-kept secret, actually. Like, why did we not have that? Can you imagine?
It was great for anger management as well.
Would it work in British primary schools? I'm not sure. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. So there you go. There's my piece.
Oh, amazing.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Yeah.
And that's the
Christmas
thing, isn't
it? Christmas can suck the fun out of everybody, can't it? It's just like, oh, it'd be such a stressful time of year. It's such a stressful time of year.
Exactly. So,
thank you, Jay, for popping on with that. Appreciate it.
That's basically me giving a little bit of an overview of how I get myself into, have myself prepared for getting into the playful space when I'm triggered by a situation that's going to make me feel very, very serious and sad or overwhelmed.
Mm.
And it's that this is one particular thing that I use to help myself. And it's so, because it's so easy to do. You don't even have to have anything physical. All you need to do is close your eyes for a second and envisaging that you're wearing a crown or that you're wearing a robe or that you're talking to your subjects.
My granny's jacket.
Yeah.
This is it. This is my new power cloak.
There you go. But you can tell when you were wearing it right from the beginning, you can tell that it affected how you acted.
Yeah.
And it was clearly affecting the way that you were viewing things. And I mean, how, it doesn't take much. All you need to do is have a coat that you wear that makes you feel like that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So I'm going to take that away, actually. I'm really going to take that away and practice that in those moments of darkness. And it's not about, again, it's not about escaping. It's not about pretending to be something you're not. And I think this is where the skill comes in. But it's just about really knowing that this is an option that is available to you to be able to look at life a bit differently. So thank you, Kat. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let me just finish off then. I've got a sort of a few things I just want to wrap up with, as it's my last time going live for a little while. So first of all, really thank you so much, Kat, honestly, for coming along today. It's been such a pleasure to spend this time with you and to see you there in your crown and in your glory. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how your new venture works out. It's just going to be so exciting to watch you in your zone doing this stuff. And I really want to thank you, particularly the people who have stayed with us live today, because people who have been really important part of the Doubters and really supported me throughout this. I've been going since March and it's been quite a journey. I've really loved doing these live sessions. Every time I've come off the live sessions, I always come off with a real sense of joy, actually, and achievement and feeling really good about this work. It is time for me to take a break. And I shared last week, actually, that I've just taken on a new course, which is doing a form of meditative inquiry, actually. And this is going to form part of my work going forward. But I need to step back and consider how that's going to work. And I've also, so something else that's also been happening recently, I've been exploring my own creativity and I started writing some poetry just fairly recently. Now, this might seem like a bit of a tangent on my work. I don't feel like it is. I think it's all like a really important integral part of this exploration around the purpose of self-doubt. I've said before, it's never about answering that question. It's about seeing what comes when we explore that. And this creative work, the poetry I've been doing is part of that. And I'm going to be offline until probably the beginning of March, but I will be sharing stuff with the mailing list. And in the new year, I'm going to be launching a new YouTube channel, which is going to be my poetry work. And I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be called Resolution Poems. So look out for that. I shall be sharing that on the list. And so I shall be keeping it in touch with everybody, and just really want to say a really special thank you to everybody who supported me doing this work, particularly the people who are here live today. So, yes, I won't be back next week. This is the last time for a while. So, Kat, is there anything else that you want to say to sign off with? It's been really great to have you here.
No, it's... Thank you very much for everything that you've done for me to help me get to where I am today.
Oh, it's so good to be part of your journey. All right, everybody, people who are live, stick around if you want to have a chat afterwards. It'd be great to see you. I'm going to turn off the recording now. Thank you to everybody.
Don't turn it off yet.
Oh.
Don't turn it off yet. Don't have it. I want this to stick. Olivia, I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done for me as well over the years now, actually, and seeing you go from strength to strength and you know, you putting yourself in a position where you can help so many people and in such a giving and caring way. And you're just a very special person to me, and the world needs more people like you, Olivia. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Yeah, so lovely. That's so lovely to come on and say that. Thank you so much.
All right, you can stop the recording now.
I can stop the recording now. Yeah. All right, thank you. I'll see you again.